I was, so what was the general, did the foster place generally open up when the ski season began and closed when the ski season ended?
They rented it out for the summer.
Okay.
To some people who lived down the road, subsequently who built themselves a house down the road and whose names I can't remember. They lived up on the hill, past, what's the road that the McGills live on? Anyway, the people who rented for the summer, and they loved the house because they had a stream right alongside, which used to flood through our cellar every now and then.
No.
So when you arrived at the foster place then, so when you first started coming, you said in the 40, you know, actually living there in 46, and what was the condition of the house at that time? I know that Jane and Anne had to do a lot, you know, employed carpenters to do a lot of renovations when they first moved in 40.
David left it in pretty good shape. Okay. For there was a bunk room for the boys, and the other side of the house was for girls, and there was one bathroom with a shower, and then there was a toilet and washbowl facility for the boys. The water heater was a coal hot water heater in the boys' bathroom, shower room. And Alec Nimick did a lot of wonderful cartoons for that. You probably have seen those. And that tells you as much of the life at the foster place as anything does. Feeling the hot water heater to find out how much hot water was left in the tank. If it got cold, water came in from the bottom. So if you got in late from skiing, you ran your hand up the water tank and you could find out just how hot the water wasn't.
And was it a problem I thought about that when I was thinking about, you know, they said you would cram as many people in as you could. How many people would you house at a time?
We had bunks for boys. I think there were 13. No, nobody ever really counted aloud, though, but there were 13 bunks. We had those old wooden, they were wooden double-deckers. And they were above what was the living room. The only thing that was changed was there were two little rooms built off the end of the living room, known as the freeze and the deep freeze, because when you closed the doors to those, it was the freeze and the deep freeze. And we had virtually no it got an odd reputation because of the simple reason that sitting facilities were basically on the floor on mattresses and whatever, so everybody thought, well, there was a very risque place to live. But it was a very proper place to live because, number one, the boys in the bunk room could hear anything that was going on down in the living room. There was no insulation between, just the boards. And so that was, it was a pretty, pretty basic, very simple, devoted to skiing. We had a lot of guitar playing at night, which was wonderful. And actually, Martha Souter's nephews gave us a wonderful recital the other day after their service here. And they stayed with the family and they played the guitar and sort of a harp thing with strings. I've forgotten what it was called. It was a classic type of harp. And they gave us some wonderful old songs I hadn't heard since the foster place, reading the words off of Mac sitting in front of them, you know.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But we had wonderful songs. They knew the great ship Titanic, which we used to sing. The guests used to wash the dishes. You see, we had a dishwash system. We had a double-sided sink, so one guy would or gal would do the washing, rinsing, and then everybody else got in the drying line. And we had no automatic anything except one round clothes washer, which our cook used to wash the dish towels every day in, every day. And they were hung out to dry because we didn't have a dryer. And
in the winter outside.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd be surprised. They do dry. They freeze first. And then they air dry. And nobody ever got sick. I don't know why not.
So what about showers? What were the bathrooms? There was an outhouse, that's right?
No. The house we had adequate plumbing or slightly inadequate quantity. The girls were all living in the other side of the farmhouse side of the house. See, the boys were all in the converted barn side.
Okay, upstairs. Their bedroom was upstairs.
Yeah.
The girls were downstairs.
Okay. And no, the girls were in the house part. You went through the kitchen, the dining room, and up a different set of stairs.
Okay.
I can show you, I have a painting of it. I can show you how the picture looked. So Wally Blodgett did a painting of it. He was he was painting all over around that
sure.
point.
Sure.
Yeah.
Walter Blodgett, yeah.
And
so where were the, so there was, you had said there was a bathroom, one bathroom upstairs.
One bathroom off the kitchen.
Okay.
Which had a bathtub. And then we had a bathroom upstairs with just a shower for the girls. That was just the girls. And the boys were in their own side of things. It was very segregated, very carefully segregated. And the story was that Tommy found somebody up in the girls found a boy up in the girls' bunk room one time, and she hauled him out by the scruff of the neck and pushed him downstairs. He didn't break anything on the way, but
wow, so
she was very firm about it. We had a big wood stove, chunk wood stove in the living room, and there was always one innkeeper who had to sit up till everybody was in because the stove was banked for the night. And however, if somebody came in late, they were for sure to put their gloves on the top of the stove to dry, you know, so we couldn't run that risk. The other warming stove was the one in the dining room, was a big round oak. And the hot water heater and that stove were both coal. The other one in the living room was chunk wood.